morning, good morning, good morning. I'm glad you're here. So, a couple of things. One is, when we do the call to worship, I kind of need you guys to stand up, because we can't sit down and say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So you're going to have to stand up. I'm sorry. I hate standing up during church. I'm like, again! But you are. The other is, you're going to have to talk to somebody during worship today. So if you're sitting by yourself and want to speak to someone, I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to do, obviously. But if you're sitting by yourself and would like to speak to somebody, or if you're sitting by somebody you don't want to talk to, then while we sing Crown Him with Many Crowns, you might want to move around. Okay? Can we do that? And during the call to worship, it's okay if you want to clap or jump up and down or do something, because in a little bit we are going to do those things. So, we are glad we are here today. We do thank God and God's richest blessings on us that we're able to get up, get dressed, and get to church. Because we are aware today that there are folks unable to do that. It is the second Sunday of Easter. Happy second Sunday. It is also Eastern Orthodox Sunday. So we want to wish blessings on those who are celebrating Easter today. And with that awareness, we want to have extra prayers in our heart for the people who are celebrating Easter Orthodox, knowing that they may not live through the day, because a lot of the Eastern European countries celebrate this day as Easter, and we're aware of people in trial and tribulation and trauma. And we'll talk some more about that. But happy second Sunday of Easter. Did you send your second Sunday Easter cards? No? I don't understand you people. Mercy. So I'd be remiss this morning not to say how much upset I was not to see Byron. I am not an early arriver to church. You know that about me. And I often sit in the very back where you can't see me, in the back pew in the hallway, because that's me. But any time I actually got here early, I always knew there'd be somebody here. He'd be unlocking the doors and turning on a light and with a happy smile. So tomorrow will be a celebration of his life. If you're able to come, it will be at 10:30 here. Please keep his family in prayer. The exciting thing is he's got a new body, and he's dancing, and he's turning on lights, and he's chatting with people, and he's making sure people are comfortable, because that's what makes him happy. Today will be 10 cents a meal. There's a box there. You can put it in during the last song. Those funds help with food ministries or teaching people about food. So right down the street, our garden has benefited from 10 cents a meal offerings. Lily Pad Haven has benefited from 10 cents a meal offerings. The Grove, where Kate Murphy is at, has benefited from 10 cents a meal offerings in their children's programming. So give graciously. It helps not just give food, it helps teach about how to do food. And it helps bring people to our opportunities to learn about Jesus. Everybody's invited to Pastor Jason's Great Stories of the Bible. Dates are in the materials that we get often and may not read. It is getting time to celebrate people who are culminating their school. They're actually graduating. They're not just passing off. And so if you have somebody that you know, love, or are aware of that's associated with our church, we need to know who those people are. You may think, oh, they know, but they don't. So tell somebody over and over. Tell Cheryl, please. Next Sunday is a special day, and Petey wants to tell us about that day.
Good morning. Next Sunday is the Presbyterian Women's birthday celebration, and we're having a tea. a high tea. And I want hope that all the women can come. We'll have fun, and it will eat good food, and it's just going to be a great celebration. 2:00 in the fellowship hall, and I'll be out front if you need to see me about bringing anything or whatever. But I do want to remind you, is that who I think it is sitting out there? Some wonderful friends from Kenya. Wonderful to see you. I'm going to make a scene in a minute. Be sure that you get out your prettiest hat, tea party hat, and bring your favorite teacup. We will have some if you don't want to bring your own. But we hope to see all of our women. Thank you. Women, girls, absolutely.
Petey.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. There will be prizes for the hats, the prettiest, the funniest, and the most original. And we don't care what hat you bring, if it's a baseball cap.
That's right.
If it's a paper hat that we used to make out of newspapers when we were kids. Or if it's a football helmet, you might have a little trouble eating the good food that Petey was talking about with a football helmet, but please come and have fun with us.
So there's prizes for hats next Sunday. If you are of the female persuasion, come and enjoy. It'll be great fun. June 26 to 29. Paige, what's happening June 26 to 29? Vacation. And do you need any help?
Of course.
And how would they volunteer to help?
Just come see me.
So stand up and wave to everybody. There's Paige. See her. What? There we go. There you go. Beautiful flowers. They're in memory of Russ and Ann Thompson. Mary Thompson has brought them for us.
I love coffee bean plant.
It smells like coffee, but it doesn't have the stains. So we are going to do the call to worship. Our wonderful leader is Ethan Knowles, who has such a boring shirt on this morning. And his mother wouldn't let him buy the pants that matched. Would you please stand with us?
Praise the Lord. Praise the God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens.
Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness.
Praise him with his trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dance. Praise him with ring and pipe. Praise him with surrounding cymbals.
Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
We do praise you today, God. We praise you for the grace that you give us. We praise you for the beauty around us. We praise you that we can make joyful noises. Amen. in 1 John chapter 8 through 9, page 107, tells us that if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. But Christ forgives all sins, and we come through him. Let's not deceive ourselves. Let's have a time to confess. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought,
word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name.
Amen. It is by the waters of baptism we are forgiven. We are forgiven people. We are called people. We are Easter people. Standing for that long time. The Apostles' Creed came into being long time ago when people were trying to decide what is it they were going to believe. It's kind of interesting because we just take it for granted. But if you study church history, you will see there were lots of years and lots of people gathered together. So as we read this together, let's think about the ages that this represents, as well as what it represents in our hearts and lives. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Creator Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Take our heart, O God.
And the young at heart?
Good morning. How was your spring break? Was it good? Very good. Does everybody know who our visitors are today?
No.
Years ago, Tim and Susan Najama joined our church. They were living in River Bend and working here. And we had the privilege of meeting Sheshi. Her real name is Annette, but we call her Sheshi. And these people are very special to me and Gay because Tim is one of our trustees of the children's home in Kenya. But they're also dear, dear friends. And Gay and I were privileged to be able to spend some quality time with them when we went to Kenya last year. So be sure and welcome them. Do you know what Friday was? It was a special day. It was Earth Day. You ever heard of Earth Day?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. You know, we're supposed to take care of our Earth. And even in the Bible it says so. The whole Earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That comes from Psalm 24:1. God delights in all creation and declares it very good. And that was from Genesis 1. When he made the earth, what did he say? It is good. The psalmist declared, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. I'm sure, since you didn't know it, but perhaps you did something for Earth Day. Perhaps you picked up litter. I know you all were down at the beach. Or did something. Thought about keeping our earth clean and neat. So I just wanted to remind you of that's something that we are supposed to do. And did anybody turn in their fish boxes? You haven't turned them in yet? You can still turn them in if you haven't done them, okay? So pray with me. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful earth.
Thank you for this beautiful earth.
Help us to keep it clean. And nice. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, the bearer of life, breathe into us words this day. Draw us into communion, enable us with love. Help us to hear your words for us, for our life and our being. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is Psalm 118, 14 through 29 on page 606 of your pew Bible. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim that the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I like that. Let's say it again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. As the word of God for the people of God. Thanks, God. Thanks,
God. If you want to get your pew Bible and turn to 1075, you're welcome to. Later on today, when you're at home, I would encourage you to read the Revelation passage. You could take a pew Bible home and bring it back so you can find the passage if that's what you need to do. John 20, 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be to you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As my Father sent me, I'm sending you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained." But Thomas, who was also known as the twin, one of the 12, wasn't there that day when Jesus came. And the other disciples said to him, "We've seen the Lord." But Thomas said, "Well, unless I see the mark of the nails and my hand is in his side, I'm not going to believe that." A week later, they were again in the house. The door was still locked, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut. Jesus came again and stood and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger right here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas said, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said, "Have you believed only because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have come to believe." Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples. that aren't written about in this book. But these are written so that you can come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you can have life in his name. So, now what? There are moments in your life, events occur, and when they're over, you kind of pause and say, now what? You go on vacation, you come home, it's like, now what? You've worked really hard for a presentation at work or at school. It's consumed your life and your world, and it's finished. Now what? You've prepared for a wedding or a baby or an anniversary. That's over with. Now what? Now, I told you you had to talk to people. So I want you to talk to someone near you. And you can talk loud because some of us don't hear so well. I want you to talk about now what moments in your life. Ready, set, talk. And people on Facebook, talk to your person. Yeah. Or your pet. Would someone please share a now what moment in your life? Somebody tell us.
When Leon passed away.
When Leon passed away, that was and is a now what moment. That's the interesting thing about now whats, they don't go away. Somebody else tell us a now what moment in your life?
When Tracy passed away.
Is continuing to be the, what do we do now? What's going to happen? Anybody?
When all five of my children, my children, were out the door, and it was now what? Well, I found out. I'm still.
Yeah, you did.
Now what?
So she said when all of her five children of hers left home, it was like, now what? But her now what is it's a revolving door, and they're back again, third generation. And you do it marvelously well. Anybody else have a now what? The ones in the cheap seats way back.
My mom got terminated on Tuesday.
Holy cow. That's a pretty cataclysmic now what when your boss is terminated and now what? We have now what moments when we get a pet, when we move our house, when we get a car, when we go to a new class in school, when we get a teacher we really didn't want to have. We have lots of now whats. They're good, they're bad, but they continue. When you have all the grandbabies born and then come to your house to spend the night. That's a now what. And then they go home, that's a woohoo, now what. We have now what's. This passage in John is a big now what for the disciples. They were experiencing this. Their lives had changed in a few days. They had taken the plunge and followed this itinerant preacher for years and had done it joyously and begrudgingly at times, and had questioned, but went ahead. And they saw him die in a brutal way, and they saw him gone. And earlier in this chapter, we read that the ladies saw him and ran to them and said, oh, he's here, he's back. And They kind of eventually believed that. But they're not out telling people about our Savior who's risen. Where do we find them in this passage? Where are they? They're in a room with the doors locked. Why are the doors locked? Why do you think they're up in this room with the doors locked? Why do you think that's that way? Somebody tell me, why are they hunkered down in a room with the doors locked? They were afraid. They had seen what happened to Jesus, and they had physical fear. And they had an existential fear. Now what? The person we followed is gone. Now what? Oh yeah, he's come back, but now what? What are we supposed to do? Where are we supposed to go? What's supposed to happen next? They're hunkered down with each other, befuddled. When someone dies in our life, there are those days that you walk around in a fog because you're just ripped apart. You miss them so bad. And that's what's happening. Their life had been framed by Jesus, following him, doing for him, getting the people together for him, feeding the people, making sure he's safe, and they can't figure it out. And then, with the doors locked, what happens? Jesus appears. Now, the human in me would have passed out dead. Jesus appears. And he says to them, "Peace. Hey guys, peace. Peace be with you." He doesn't chastise them. He doesn't harangue them. He doesn't belittle them. He doesn't say, "Why aren't you out there telling people I'm alive? Why aren't you out there doing what I told you guys to do?" He just says, "Hey, peace. Good to see you." And then, of course, the disciples rejoice because it was back the way it was supposed to be. Oh, here he is. Yay! Hurrah, hurrah. But then he says, "You know, my dad sent me to be with you. And I'm sending you to be out beyond those locked doors. And I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you the power. I'm giving you this gift. And if you forgive anybody's sins, they're going to be forgiven." That's a lot of power. "And if you retain the sins, you retain them." Peace. And probably in tradition, we haven't this written, but if you read between the lines, which is what we often do in the Bible, they probably had a meal. Because most of the celebrations that you read about with Jesus includes some bread and wine and maybe a few figs. Somebody wasn't there that day. Thomas. We don't know where he was. But he wasn't there. And he comes back. And they say, "Guess who we saw? Guess who we saw? Guess who we saw?" And Thomas said, "Hurrah, I'm so excited." Is that what Thomas did? Thomas says, "Ha, I don't believe you." Now I have to give credit, because when the women ran back and said, "Jesus isn't there, Jesus isn't there, he's risen, he's risen, he's risen," the disciples said, "Ha." So the "ha" was a common event. Thomas says, "Nope, nope, I don't believe this, I don't believe this, I got to see it with my eyes." What's the phrase that we often hear in our world today? Seeing is believing. We hear about doubting Thomas, but we say seeing is believing. I don't guess we knew that was biblical, did we? We got to see it. So what do you have to see to believe? What do you have to see to believe in your life and in your world as you go about? What do you have to see? So we hear again, we read again. A week later, here comes we're reading, and where are these disciples? They're out preaching because they've received the Holy Spirit, right? They're locked in the room again. They're locked upstairs in that room. Still now whatting? Oh me, oh my, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Doors are shut, and here is Jesus again. And he says, "Peace." Again, he doesn't harangue, he doesn't belittle, he doesn't stomp his feet. He says, hey, peace. Hey guys, good to see you. And then, I wouldn't want to be Thomas, but then he looks just to Thomas and he says, come on over here. Put your hand right here. Put your hand right here. Don't doubt. You need to believe. And here, as you study this passage next, there's a difference of opinion. Maybe Thomas did touch him. Maybe Thomas didn't touch him. But Thomas just said, oh, my Lord and my God. Kind of like, holy cow, it is you. You are risen. He saw and he believed. But God reminds us in this passage. Jesus tells us, do you only believe because you've seen me? Is that the only reason you're believing? You know, blessed are those who have not seen me and come to believe then and through the decades and eons to today. Blessed are we who haven't seen the physical Jesus, and yet we have in many people. Blessed are we who haven't seen the nails. Blessed are we who say, I want Jesus. I believe Jesus. He is the Messiah. He has died. He has risen. He is in my life. Blessed. So, when are times in your life that you had to see to believe? When in times in your life that you really were doubting? That you really just couldn't embrace Christianity as you think you should? So talk to a person by you about doubting times in your life. You have 2 minutes to talk about doubts. Do you doubt about, are you a Christian? Do you doubt about, are you following God's path? Do you doubt about, is this chair going to hold me up? Do you doubt about, am I going to wake up in the morning? Do you doubt about, do I have enough money to make it through the week? There's lots of reasons to doubt. And along with doubt comes guilt. Oh, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. I have a really good friend who says, don't should on yourself. And that's a good phrase. We shouldn't, because we have Christ who gives us all things and all blessings. What do you in your world and your life need Jesus to say peace about? And what moments in your life have you experienced and you maybe not have audibly heard Jesus say peace, but you have experienced Jesus' presence saying peace to you. Just like those times in the upper room for the disciples, the followers of Jesus who still couldn't follow. When are times you've experienced peace? And what does that look like and feel like for you? Talk to your neighbor. Would somebody like to tell us a time when they've experienced peace and God's presence? Can anybody share that? Yes, ma'am. Shout. I love it. But that is peace, isn't it? It's the reality of the world. Amen. Anybody else have that time? Yes, ma'am. There you go. And that is peace. It is peace in Christ demonstrated. Anybody else?
If you've ever been in a sanctuary when there's nobody here and the light shines in, the lights are off, but the sunlight is shining in, that is very peaceful.
Yeah. To be in the sanctuary with no electric lights, but God's light shining in, is the time of peace and communion with God. Peace. Yeah. God does that, doesn't God? Takes burdens away, brings peace and comfort and a realization that we can't fix it, but God can fix it. Sometimes we want to take it back, but we can leave it with God, and God can fix it. That's what Jesus was saying to his followers who had followed and followed and followed him and even stood at the foot of his cross and yet were paralyzed with fear. Peace. The psalm passage that Audrey read is an important psalm passage, and the psalm passage that was the call to worship are both passages that are used during Passover. They are passages that were very familiar to these folks in that upper room, but they were so paralyzed that they could not remember their teaching. You guys have been paralyzed, haven't you, where you couldn't even maybe remember your name. You're just like, ugh. That's what was happening to these guys. There was this angst going on, and they couldn't remember the praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, because they didn't feel like praising the Lord. And they couldn't remember where their salvation, where their being came from, where their deliverance came from. And yet in that psalm, in both psalms passages, we are reminded that even in the darkest, horriblest, nastiest times, we have peace. And we have to praise the Lord. We have to give praise. We have to give credence. We have to give love. We have to go forward. So today is the second Sunday of Easter. We're not locked up in a room. We got dressed. We drove in our car. But it is a now what moment. Now what? Now what do we do with this resurrection person we are? Now what do we do with Christ who is in us? Now what do we do about people who espouse to be believers, who espouse to say, I do believe in Jesus, and Jesus is in my life, and I am going to live a life as a demonstration of God's grace. So what is that now what? I can't answer the now what for you. Only you and God have that. But the now what is, we don't go along as we are. We don't stay hidden in a room. We don't lock the door, mainly because we are very blessed. We may have a wreck, or we may have some violence occur, but we are not living the life of the people celebrating Eastern Orthodox Easter in the Ukraine or Poland or Hungary or Russia, who don't even know that they'll be alive. We are not the people who are fearful for our lives because we call Christ Christ. a Lord and Savior for us. We are called to a now what? We are called to being peace to the people around us. We are called to put feet to our Christianity and a smile to our Christianity. So one of my favorite authors is Milne, because I love Winnie the Pooh. And my favorite Pooh character is Eeyore. Oh me, oh my, what a terrible day. My tail has fallen off again. And yet Eeyore has friends who come and rescue his tail and put it back on him. And Eeyore has friends who rally around him. We are the rallying forces. We are the forces that are not supposed to be Eeyores in the world. We are to be the peace of the world. And so our challenge is, as Easter people, our challenge is, as people who embrace Christ and who claim Christ as ours, is to put feet to that. Feet may be a smile to the neighbor. Feet may be verbally saying, peace to you today, I'll pray for you. And sometimes you say it to people and they just look quizzically at you. Or sometimes you say it to people and they're like, yeah, right. Doesn't matter what they do, you're doing what Christ has called you to do. So now what? We are Easter people. We are people that have the Holy Spirit who breathes on us regularly. We are people who have power. We are people who can bring peace to our world. And it looks different things. It looks like a cup of coffee to somebody. It looks like paying for the person behind you's meal and drive-through. It looks like saying, thank you, I appreciate what you've done at the checkout. It looks like a card in the mail to one of our shut-ins, and there are many. One of those shut-ins is Steve Gilmore. He has no one in his life. He has his wife who is challenged in her own ways. He has no family whatsoever. That is hard for me to believe because I am blessed richly with family and friends. So maybe the peace you bring is a card in the mail to Steve at his facility or even a quick stop off, and you do have to talk loud, but a quick stop off. Thank you for being here on the second Sunday of Easter. Thank you for thinking about what's the now what in your life. I hope this week holds wonderful now what experiences. I hope you pass the test you need to in school. I hope you do well at work. I hope you have a meal with a friend that you love dearly, or maybe not so dearly, but you still have a great meal. I hope you have moments of peace, of sunshine shining in a glass, of a flower, a butterfly, a bee, a cute little multicolored lizard. I hope you have times where you know Christ has given you power. I hope you have time to embrace that power. Amen. Do we have prayer concerns? Anybody have a special prayer concern? We do need to continue to remember Byron's family and the celebration tomorrow for him and his life. We do desperately need to remember the wars that are going on in our world, and they're wars that we aren't even aware of, but there's always skirmishes. But we are aware of a very significant change in people. And we remember our happy times. We remember the ability to dig in the earth and plant new things and cut the grass and vacuum and mop. Those are happy times. So we remember those times. Let's pray. Dear God, Thank you for now what's. Thank you for now what's that occur with celebration and vacations. And thank you for the now what's that sometimes just rip our heart out, but you are there with us, walking through it and showing us the way. Thank you that you gave us example of your followers who, although they walked with you daily, still had moments of doubt and confusion. And you came and put your hands on them and said, peace. Thank you for peace that you bring to us. As we go through this week, dear God, remind us of the power you give us and the tasks you give us. The task to be Christ to those around us until we can tell them about the true Christ. We do pray, God, for the people who are in the hospitals, some still with the viruses, some who are facing surgeries, some who are celebrating births. We pray for people who aren't with us today. Give us strength to remember them and rejoice with them. We pray for this world we live in. We don't deceive ourselves. It is filled with sin, and we are the sinners among them. We pray that you help us embrace your salvation, your deliverance. Help us to help this world heal from its brokenness. And we thank you that you teach us daily and that we are able to pray together a prayer you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but forgive us from evil. For now is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will collect 10 cents a meal at the end.
Beginning of the 70s, our country was in turmoil. There was turmoil on our colleges, and we had a sense of, if not fear, concern. Bill and Gloria Gaither, at that point, had had their first child, a son, and as they held that son, she wrote, "How sweet to hold a newborn baby." And so the hymn came alive. It's found its way into 38 hymnals around the world. Steve is going to sing the verses, and would you, the words are in the bulletin, would you sing with each of us on the chorus, "Because He Lives"? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know and life is worth the living just because he lived.
How sweet to hold a newborn baby that feels alive and for he gave. But will you stand a call of surety? This child can face uncertain days because he lives.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lived.
And then one day I'll cross the border. I'll find life's love, the war will end. And then as death gives way to
because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the and life is worth the living just because he lives. And praise God from whom all things flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, God. We praise you for the many blessings and the many riches you give us each and every day. We thank you for the salvation we have. Help us to have happy feet as we leave today, God, sharing your salvation. Amen. So as we leave today, we leave praising God. We don't stay locked up in our rooms. We're not hanging out here. We're going to walk out the doors and say thank you. We're going to walk out the doors and extol God's blessings on people. Thank you for being here today. Have a marvelous second week of Easter. Amen.
Amen. Come thou fount is in your bulletin. Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me the melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. Have a great day.